Christine, be still and know you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest, rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. Amen, Jesus. Oh, Word of God, speak. Won't you pour down like rain, washing my, wash our spiritual eyes so we can see, Lord Jesus, your majesty. Be still and know you're in this place. Let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. Lord Jesus, speak to us this evening. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Let us hear from you this night. Let this be a night of remembrance, O God, that we know there was this night that something happened. You spoke and life changed. You spoke and transformed us. You spoke, O God, and your word, your voice, Lord, transformed us, changed us, O God. Speak tonight, O Lord. Let us know that we are in your presence. Let us know that you're here. Speak, O God. Speak once more, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. From off Calvary, come, Lord, speak from off the mercy seat, O Lord Jesus. Speak, commune with us from your mercy seat, from between the wings of the cherubim. Speak to our hearts, speak to our soul tonight. Lord, we lay down our lives before you. We repent of our sins, Lord. We repent of our lives. We lay it down and we turn from it all, Lord. We come to thy loving arms, to the throne of mercy, to see a bleeding lamb in our place. Oh, we love you, Lord Jesus, for that. What grace this is. What grace you have bestowed upon us. Bless us this night as we pray and we go to your word, hungry, thirsty, that we may know more who you are in us and who we are in you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Love him with all your heart. Amen. Good to be in God's presence once again. And to be close to him. Hallelujah. Appreciate everybody serving in a position, finding a position, doing things to serve the Lord. Amen. If you have your Bible and you're standing, let's turn to Romans chapter 8. And we'll begin at verse 14. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 8, verse 14 through 23. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God, offspring of God. Amen? For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. How does it feel to be a co-heir with Christ? Amen. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A lot of people are expecting when Jesus comes, there'll be a glory that'll be revealed from heaven. But look what he's saying. There's a glory to be revealed in us. It's coming. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing or the manifestation of the sons of God. The word there is the unveiling, the revealing. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, the down payment, the earnest of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. May God bless His word. You may be seated. I want to address the thought tonight, manifestation of sons of God. Just to pull that from that verse, manifestation of the sons, manifestation of sons of God. Just kind of take the subject matter of once you receive your position, you can take possession. Hallelujah. By understanding your position, you're authorized to take possession. There's no going back. Hallelujah. Adoption in the Bible is very, very different from adoption in the modern day terms that we use today. Adoption in the Bible actually, a lot of times it's written out in different versions as adoption. It's called adoption as sons. But it's actually the placing of a son. And the term is a Eastern term. It's not a Western term. It's not a modern term. It's an old term. But it's a term where when an actual son in a family works his way up through the ranks, as it were, the father will eventually choose that son to place the full responsibility of not only the business, but the whole entire asset collection that he has. Everything he owns goes on to the son. The son has all power and all authority. Whatever the son says is just as good as the father saying it. Whatever the son signs is like the father signed it. Whatever the son proclaims, the father's proclaiming. That's exactly what adoption means. It's actually in the literal language, son positioning. It means to establish this son. To put him in a position that everything is his. He has full authority in that arena. In that realm, he has complete, full authority. It all has to do with position. Hallelujah. Galatians 4, 1 through 2 is really good because it really spells it out. And I want to just, you know, strike that a little bit and we'll go back to it. But Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2 says, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a servant, though he is master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father." In other words, there's a time appointed by the Father that he will do the son positioning, the adoption. But until then, he is under tutors and trainers because he's too young. The Father's not going to put him in a position to run the kingdom when he's only 5 or 6 or 8 or just been born. He's going to let him grow up and learn the ropes. He's going to train him in the Father's business. And in the Hebrew, old ancient Jewish way, and still they do it today almost symbolically, a child is born into the family. He is an heir, but he has to go learn the basics until he's 12, 13. At that age, he goes through bar mitzvah. And the bar mitzvah is really kind of when he's released from his tutors and even under his mother's care so much, and released to the father's care, because now he's becoming a young man, and the father's going to take him and bring him into the business and start showing him how to run it. Everything from there to there is basics, and then it's advanced training. So bar mitzvah is sort of a symbol or a type of receiving the spirit of adoption. Praise the Lord. The spirit of being positioned. And it's really where the son starts to really fall in love with his father and learning and respecting his dad and learning how to do things. And he realizes what a privilege he's born into, that he gets to learn how to run the business and ultimately take over perhaps the whole entire inheritance. Those who accept Christ as their Savior and experience justification are sons already, but must grow up till they receive the spirit of adoption. Does that make sense? Just the disciples believing on Jesus was wonderful, but they still had to get to Pentecost. A lot of people today think, oh, that was just an interesting symbolic thing God did then. He never does it again. No, God does things one way. He does it the same way. But it's the devil who's a smart guy who knows that If I can keep people, if they want to follow Jesus and call themselves Christians and believers, that's fine. Just stay away from Pentecost. I don't want you to be born again. We'll call everything that's happening to you born again. We'll say that you received the Holy Spirit when you believed. No, the disciples believed and they did not receive the Holy Spirit. They accepted that the Holy Spirit was a real being in the form of Jesus, but yet he couldn't go into them while he was contained in one man. So that's why Jesus said, until I die and was buried and ascend on high, you cannot receive the Holy Spirit. Because there's no way for two of them to be there at the same time because there isn't two persons. Make sense? You know, he's using words that makes people think, well, look at the language. He says, I'm going to send you another comforter, and that comforter, you know, personal pronoun, will lead you. But they don't understand the concept that, of course, it's he because it is a person because it's him, Jesus. He himself says, I am with you now. I'm going to go away, but I'm going to come back and be with you forever. How does he plan on doing that? By becoming the Holy Spirit, not a one-man vessel, but the Holy Spirit that was in the one man can now be in many men and women, many people. And it ends up still being the same person. Hallelujah. The time appointed by the Father to place or to position the adult son. So the stages of adoption are this. Understand this, saints, because it's very, very important to understand this and not let this slip away. The way it worked in the Old Testament and even up to Jesus' day time is symbolic of how it works for us on a spiritual level. Amen? So first stage is the training of a son. There has to be training, and it starts out when you're saved and sanctified. You're going through a process of you're realizing you're part of his family. You know, we learn in the end time truth that you didn't get saved on a certain day. You just discovered that you were saved. Hallelujah. You know, salvation's not trying to save a goat and turn it into a sheep, or a wolf and turn it into a sheep or a lamb. But salvation is the fact that you realize you're a lamb when you hear his voice. Because he says, my sheep hear my voice. What were they before they heard the voice? They were sheep to begin with. But they were acting like goats and living among them. So it took the voice to create to bring the identification out, but it did not create or turn you into a sheep or a lamb. God is not in the business of turning pigs, goats, and wolves into sheep. That's not his job. You could act a certain way, but when truth comes, when his word comes, you start realizing, wait a minute, I'm not a chicken. I'm an eagle. I'm in a chicken coop. I am eating chicken food, but I realize now by that scream that I'm not that. It's all about a discovery of identification. We are living in a world today in society with identification crisis. Men think they're women. Women think they're men. People think they're animals. And quite frankly, a lot of them are animals. But people are very confused about stuff. Their identity is skewed. And it's a very weird world that we live in. But thank God that though there be many voices in the world that are causing all this confusion, there is another voice, a still small voice, that is causing people to gather, to catch what their real identity is. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad you're an eagle? You're glad you're a lamb? Hallelujah, a sheep. So sanctified, so in other words, it types, the training of the son starts from birth. Birth and childhood of a son that is born into the family, he's going to go through that whole process of learning the basics. Now, he's going to start out with ABCs. He's going to learn the algebra later. But he's going to learn ABCs first. He's going to have to learn the basics. He has to learn how to tie his shoes. He has to learn how to put on his own clothes eventually, use the bathroom by himself. He has to learn all the basics. Right? Hallelujah. And when somebody comes to Christ and they're saved and they're coming into the body and all that, they're learning the basics. They can't handle all the any algebra yet because they just need to learn their ABCs. But then when you receive the spirit of adoption, it's putting you in a position of advanced training. It's very similar, like I said, to bar mitzvah. It's the time when you are old enough now where you're no longer a child. You no longer need your mom to do everything for you. You can do everything yourself. But it's time now to go from the church training you to where your Heavenly Father's training you specifically. Directly, individually, the Holy Spirit is now in you, leading you into all truth. The church has served its purpose, right? But full adoption, how many understands that by the scriptures we just read? Full adoption is when we all receive our body change. So people say, we're adopted now. We're not. We are in the sense that we've received the spirit of adoption, or at least we've accepted that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and we are children of God as well because of faith. Faith is identifying us with Him as we are sons and daughters of God as well. But it still takes the baptism of the Holy Spirit to fully identify us. And what it's doing, it's not identifying us as sons so much, it does, but further, more important, the baptism of the Holy Spirit identifies us as sons with a position. Do you get that? It's placing us. It's a spirit of adoption. So it's a spirit, and if you could understand it, the spirit of adoption is the spirit of a body change. My job on this earth, my whole position is to change this earth, to take possession of this earth and change it. I have power to lay down my life, and I have power to raise it up again. Do you believe that? This earth has to be changed. And it's in me by a baptism of adoption, the spirit of adoption, to change this. Hallelujah! You say, well, when Jesus comes, He'll change our bodies. I understand what you're saying. But understand that it's Christ already in you, the hope of glorification. Hallelujah! The glory shall be revealed within us. Praise the Lord. Not Jesus comes from heaven and then, please, Lord, I'm right here, change me. He's already sent the power to change your body to this earth. And when He opened the seals, it made it more effective. It didn't have the effect it could have had through Luther, Wesley, and so on. But it took this last day to rip the seals off the book so that you and I could elevate our faith to a level under this adoption, this advanced training. When you receive the spirit of adoption, you move into advanced training. You're no longer learning ABCs. You're learning algebra. Because He's got to teach you about things that can change the atoms. You've got to learn about atoms. You need to understand how they work. Sorry, saints, but you're not in baby school no more. You're learning physics. Spiritual, supernatural physics. Hallelujah. You ready for that? Quantum physics. If you have received the spirit of adoption, you have the spirit of your body change. The spirit in you is going to change your body. You don't even really need your theophany, except that your theophany speaks to you, your spirit receives it, and you're fed and you're changed. How many understands that? How many realizes you're eating eagle food by hearing from your theophany? Hallelujah. We are strange people. We eat with our ears. But truly, we eat with our spiritual ear. He that has an ear, you don't need two, you just need one. But the reason why it's important, saints, is because it's the very spirit that you have received, the spirit of adoption, is already working in you, taking God's word. You know, I can stand here and preach, but you're not really supposed to hear me. God is just using me as a catalyst so that your theophany can speak directly to you. A real minister doing this right job will do it in a way that effectively allows your theophany to speak to you. And since your theophany is your word body, He can only feed you what He's made out of, which is word. You're not receiving just dead letter word, which you can get right from the Bible, but those who are able to look past just the black and white letters and see what's written between the lines and hear that voice and receive the truth, which is making you free and causing the liberty of the sons and daughters of God, those of us receiving that, can you say hallelujah, are hearing from our ego mama, your theophany. And when that happens, then the very word that's in you isn't just dead letter like, oh, we must have long hair, we must wear certain clothes. That's all. Those are just hurdles. You should be able to get past the ABCs long ago. That's all important to have for now, but now we're in algebra. And you're hearing the materials that are coming into you. At some point, they're going to materialize around the word. Hallelujah. You love them? So, Jesus calls you a son of the resurrection. Do you know that's in the Bible? Hallelujah. If you have the Spirit of God's Son, then you and I are sons and daughters of the resurrection. Praise the Lord. I think that's beautiful, don't you? The Spirit of adoption is leading us. Where's He leading us? He's leading us to the adoption. There's nowhere else to go. If it's the Spirit of adoption, whatever spirit it is, that's where it's leading you. So if there's something in the Bible called the spirit of perdition or the spirit of destruction, well, if the people are being led by the spirit of destruction, then where are they heading? You see, they're sons of destruction. That's scriptural. Whatever spirit is leading you, that's your destiny. Hallelujah. I believe we have the spirit of adoption, so it's the spirit of the body change, so it's leading me to a body change. Oh, it's good, saints. Galatians 3, we got to backtrack a little bit. He says, for you are all sons of God. This is verse 26, near the end of Galatians 3. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Hallelujah. Number one, water baptism, which by the way does not save you, but certainly reflects the fact that you are saved. Hallelujah. It does not remit your sins, but it is a sign of sins being remitted. It coincides. You would do one because you're doing the other. They work together. They're seamless. The spirit of adoption doesn't give you sonship. Now, this is something I need you to really understand. The spirit of adoption, when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it doesn't make you into a son. I know the scriptures you might be thinking about says, and all who received him became sons. But the word to become does not mean to be made into. In other words, you didn't exist as a son, now you are a son. It doesn't mean that. To become means to grow into. You already are sons, but to become fully free and manifested sons and daughters, it required the Holy Spirit. You have to receive Christ. So the spirit of adoption doesn't give you sonship, rather it identifies your pre-existing sonship. The Spirit Himself, as we read earlier, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Not that we're becoming, but that we are. Until the Holy Spirit comes in, we don't have that identification. We have something that makes us understand that we believe, and by faith, there's a sonship quality there. But until the Holy Spirit comes in and absolutely identifies you, you are my seed, you are my offspring, you are my son, you are my daughter. Till the Holy Spirit comes in with the Father's message, you are my child. Hallelujah. You don't have that. You're trusting in what you believe that's there. And that's what faith does. Faith will carry you to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You believe it? Praise the Lord. Galatians 4, 4 through 7. Now, this is really important, so if you want to turn, go ahead. But I'll read it to you. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that would mean the Jews, that we might receive the adoption or son positioning. So, full redemption was offered to the Jews. Full redemption was available to the Jews. And ultimately, what Jesus did is He did redeem Israel. Jesus does not need to come back to earth to redeem Israel. He does not have to come back to earth to die again. His blood that was spilt for two reasons. One, it purchased, really three. One, it purchased the earth. So it bought it back from the devil. Even though the devil doesn't own it, he just possesses it. But he bought it back. How many understands that? So that deals with what Adam lost. And it also buys or purchases Israel as a nation. He has to put them on the back burner because he's going to go get them later. But he purchased Israel as a nation. I'm still lit up here. But ultimately, the blood that was shed was also for every single believing Gentile that would ever come to Christ and believe that what God sent through Calvary was to redeem even us and draw us nigh unto Israel, make us part of Israel. That's all redemption happening through the blood. So when the fullest time has come, God did all that, that we might, all of us, might receive the adoption, the son positioning. And here it is, and because you are sons, God sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts. Why did God send you his Spirit? Why did God send the Spirit of adoption into your heart? Because you are sons. You are already sons and daughters, so he sends the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit of adoption. Makes sense, doesn't it? And what do we cry? As soon as the Spirit comes in, we cry, Abba, Father. We are directly connected with our Heavenly Father. Praise the Lord. Therefore, you are no longer a servant, but a son. If a son, then an heir of God through Christ. So it reflects back to earlier when we talked about it, and in fact, you can go back and see, you are no longer a servant, but a son is reflecting back to when you were a child, when you first come to God, when you first come to believing, you are like a servant. Even though you're an heir, you're a son, you're a daughter, you're an heir to everything, you, in fact, even uses the term, you're master of all, you are that by genetic code. But you move from servant to son, sonship, when the Spirit of adoption enters into you. You're no longer a servant, but a son. It's not about identification or anything like that. It's about functionality. When you first come to the Lord and you first accept Jesus as your Savior, you're really trying to serve. Like you're trying to live right. And you're doing a lot of things by faith. You don't have anything else to run by. You're going by that. But when the Holy Spirit comes in, which fulfills what the new covenant would be all about, I will write my laws on their hearts. I will give them a new spirit, and I will put in them my Holy Spirit. That's the new covenant. So it does. It solves the problem of the old covenant, which was demanding outward flesh exercises to fulfill God's righteous requirements, and our human flesh could not do it. Paul said the old covenant was weak because of the weakness of the flesh. And God put the demand on the outward activities of the human flesh. It was never going to succeed. He needed to do it. He sent us the old covenant to prove to us that there was something innately wrong with us, that no man could muster enough energy or strength or inner ability or from wherever. And that was the problem. There was an inner man problem that caused the outer man to fail. And Jesus comes on earth and spends almost all of 3.5 years elevating the Old Testament, the Old Covenant. People think he came and brought grace. He pointed that grace was coming, but it didn't start until the day of Pentecost or until he was rejected. Calvary starts grace, marks the end of judgment. Because he does away with the law in himself and allows the opportunity for us to accept grace. That means grace is the law gets to be fulfilled in you by him stepping in and doing it through you, helping you do it. Amen? Hallelujah. So, therefore, you are no longer a servant but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. This refers back. So it's a change in functionality. The heir, as long as... And I love this part. The heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a servant. You see, in that statement, he's not saying we are servants, but in the household, we're no different than a servant who gets up and functions. He has to do things to keep the house running, and a young child is doing things because... And you know when you're a kid and your parents tell you to go cut the firewood or bring it in or put it in the fire or do the dishes or sweep the floor, it's like a job. Right, James Jr.? It's true. It's like a job. like, oh man, I got to do that. And you'll try to get out of it because it seems like work. When you first come to Christ, there's a lot of work involved. You got to deal with people coming against you, making fun of you, and you got to try to stand. And it's very hard. And so you're acting as a servant, but you're really not a servant. So when Paul says you move from being a servant to a son, you're not moving from actually being a servant, just functioning as a servant. It's temporary. God doesn't want you to do that forever. He wants you to be a son and a daughter. Now, I love this part because as long as he's a child, does not differ at all from a servant, though he is master of all. This is easy to miss. Don't miss this. A son that's born in a home, potentially and ultimately, will become the master of the whole household, of the whole inheritance. He will become the master. Think about that for a minute. He is already genetically the master, but he's not functioning as the master until the time appointed. He has to earn his way there. Adoption positions you as master of all. Transitioned from child and servant to mature position son. There's a difference between a child who's acting as a servant and one who grows up, matures, and becomes positioned or becomes identified with the position. Bar mitzvah. Hallelujah. He takes on the spirit of his father. So now that changes his attitude from feeling like it's rules and regulations to feeling like I'm understanding the spirit of the law now. I like the spirit. Now it makes sense why we have these laws. Why did that rotten old police officer pull me over? I know I was going 20 miles over the speed limit, but man, why did he have to do that, you know? We fight it. We don't like it. But after a while, we start trying to follow the laws because you understand it makes sense. And sometimes what will do that to us is experience. We'll hear about somebody who was going way over speed limit and is a friend or a loved one, and they had a bad accident and they got really hurt real bad or something. And then we start following the law because we adopt the spirit of the law. And that's when the Holy Spirit comes in and it changes us and we start learning mature concepts beyond tying your shoes and getting dressed, doing the dishes and sweeping the floor. We'll still do all that, but now our mind is beyond that into algebra, into advanced training, because we're beginning to realize by the Holy Spirit that I'm really the master of all. I'm putting away childish things. I can't speak like a child no more. I can't think like a child or try to understand. I'm becoming mature. I'm being perfected because I have a position. I have a role. I have a new function coming. It's changing now. I'm no longer a servant. I'm a son, but I'm also a son in training, a daughter in training to become something that I now see in a heavenly realm. I have a position. I am in a certain place from a heavenly perspective that has to show up on earth too. Does that make sense? Are you all tired tonight? Hallelujah. Adoption positions you and identifies, adoption actually positions you as master of all. Praise the Lord. So, and how many believes that we are in a time in history, in church history, where we're coming to or we're in adoption time? Adoption is not just individually, it is individually, but it's also for the whole church. The entire church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the true believers that have passed away over the ages, are waiting for the adoption of sons and daughters. And that's a time frame. There's a fullness of time when it all gets gathered up. We're living in that time, saints. I hope you understand that. So, but it's a transitioning time. We are transitioning from child and servant to mature position. We are transitioning by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now get this, saints. When the seals were opened, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Satan had figured out a way to keep us separate, keep us stuck at Calvary. You know, we go into a church and we see a cross with Jesus still stuck on it. We don't see a resurrection. We don't see Pentecost. We don't see any of that. We're just stuck with believing in Jesus, and that's it. And that was all that was required. And unfortunately, people got away from the early church and what they experienced because they got stuck into a religious rut. And how the churches were succeeding, as they call it success, was keeping the people children. Even though Peter and Paul saw that coming, and they said, come on, it's okay when you start out that you like milk, but when you get older, you're supposed to enjoy 7-course meals. You got to be able to eat meat and vegetables and adult food, and that was the thing. And so they warned about it, but of course we went through all this church age, a lot of it with just the milk. People weren't maturing, not growing up. But in this last day, God is transitioning us from that system, child servant, denominations, into bride material. Amen. You don't marry a 13-year-old. We're not Muslims. We don't do that. We're looking for an adult woman, see? A man wants to marry an adult woman, and Christ is looking for a mature bride. It's a transition. And not just serving in our Father's business anymore, but running the Father's business. Hallelujah. This is the third pole. We got to move. We're still struggling with it, saints. Believe me, I feel like we're all stuck in a twilight zone somewhat. But it's about to happen because you must sense it too. I sense the pressure. Even personally as well as message-wide, you know, you look around, the pressure is there. That it's a kind of pressure that'll either break or make her. And it's a pressure on each one of you personally, and I'm going through it, you're going through it, that you feel like it's either going to make or break you. But I feel the eagle that's in a moping period. It's just got to go through that and just come to a realization, you know what, I am an eagle. I used to fly high, and I'm going back there. And just start breaking the calcium off your beak, hallelujah, and let your feet may be bleeding, but you're going to heal up. And you just know if I could get high enough, if I could climb the side of the hill just high enough, there's enough wind of the Holy Spirit that will catch me. I know I can do this. I'm not afraid. And everyone's coming and saying things, but there's something from on high that is sending down the food, hallelujah. And it's nothing but unadulterated food of Almighty God, hallelujah. And that's what we need today. Do you believe that? We don't need some fancy packaged stuff, you know, with a brand on it. We just don't need that. You know, I'm Baptist, I'm Pentecost, I'm Seven Thunders, I'm this. We don't need something with a brand stamped on it, saints. We already have a brand, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's the Father's name written on your forehead. Hallelujah. That's all you need. You're an eagle. Time to rise up. Third pole is for the manifestation of mature sons and daughters of God, masters of all. Masters of all. Do you like the scriptures? It's not just worded to be poetic. It's establishing a need. We are living in a world where Satan is the great pretender, the fake master of all. He claims to be the master of all. I remember when I was in the world, there was a song by Rolling Stones, whoever they are. Aren't you glad you're part of the solid rock? But the Rolling Stones. And they had this song where it was, they explained it, and I don't remember the song, and I don't really care to remember it, but it had something to do with the voice, the singer was saying, I control the television, I control the movies, I control, and I'm getting your kids from you, and all this stuff. And he was, it's interpreted that it's Satan. And they didn't mind saying it back in the 70s. I said, that's what it is, it's Satan. And sure enough, I can truly believe Satan inspired it. And, you know, he worked through them and they wrote it down and they sang it. And that's what that song is. And that's what that music's about. And Satan is the pretended master of all. But he needs to learn a lesson. So once we were servants and childs under pedagogues being trained and educated, now it's time for us to become mature and start educating. The devil is looking for a teacher. Well, actually, he's not. He's trying to avoid it, but he's going to get one anyway. Hallelujah. God is raising up people, sons, daughters of God around the world that are going to educate this devil. We have the devil's answer. He's going to get educated. He is not the master of all. And who better to educate him than the master of all? Christ in you, the hope of glory, Christ in a bride form. Who's better to do it than the master of all? Oh my. Master of all. I want to talk to you about the master of all. Are you ready for this? Sons and daughters who are growing up in Christ and filled with his spirit, spirit of adoption, are growing up to come into adoption, which means full manifestation of masters of all. Master of the seas. Master of the winds. Master of mountains. Move a mountain if you need to. Master of trees. Pluck it up, throw it in the sea. That's where it belongs. Whatever. Masters of creation. Masters of nature. All nature, all creation's waiting because Satan and his abusive children have been destroying the earth. And the earth is waiting for sons and daughters of God. I do believe in global warming. I do believe there's coming a time when the earth is going to be so hot, it's going to burn everything up. So it's already in the scripture. I do believe in that. Hallelujah. But our job is to take control of the earth, to give it the earth evidence that there are sons and daughters of God who are entering adoption, son positioning, placing, who are going to take the promise of God, the word of God, the title deed that God gave to man back in Genesis when he said, I'm giving you dominion over the earth and the sea and the rivers and lakes and the animals and the trees and everything. I give you dominion over it all. And when Adam sinned, he fell and lost that dominion. Jesus came and started showing us what the second or last Adam could do, showing us the Redeemer Adam to redeem other Adams and bring the children up to that level. He took control of the sea and the water and the mountains and everything. He took control of all nature. He took control of diseases. Hallelujah. There was no germ, no little bugs that were causing disease that could exist around Jesus. He just told them where to go and what to do. He took care of it. Dominion over the earth, masters of all, is restored again. Do you believe it? I know we're looking for it, but I want to try to announce to you tonight, it's restored. Hallelujah. The spirit of adoption connects us to our God-given position by revelation. You should have a revelation of predestination. Predestination is simply being predetermined by God to a position. God is not going to change his mind. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. How many understands we are blessed in heavenly places in Christ? And another verse of Scripture says we are seated with Christ on the throne of authority in heavenly places. Saints, this is your position. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predetermined us to adoption. Son positioning. God, when he determines something, it's going to happen. You're not trying to become adopted. You are on a road to adoption. A road God has already set up. And he got you on the road, and he's leading you on the road. You don't have to work toward it. It's already happening. Hallelujah. Son positioning by Jesus Christ himself according to the good pleasure of his will. And, you know, it gives God pleasure for us to be on this journey. We got to get it out of our heads that God is sitting there upset most of the time with our lives. He doesn't even know the junk that goes on because Jesus Christ is there, and all God sees is his own son who's already adopted, and every one of us are included in Christ because we're seated in Christ, and he sees you only in Christ because God's only looking at his own thoughts reflected back to him, and God can't have a bad thought. He only has pure thoughts, and we are his thoughts expressed in this day. Hallelujah! You're pure in Jesus Christ. Will you fall? Will you make mistakes? Of course. You wouldn't even know you fell or made a mistake if the true thought of God wasn't in you. Because there's a lot of Christians that think it's normal to live like a pig. But it doesn't do away with the fact that you're part of his family. He can't throw you out of the family. He won't do it. He predetermined. God cannot predetermine something and then change his mind. If he does, he's no longer God. That's how the devil works. He promises things and takes it back. God cannot predetermine with his eternal thoughts you seated in Christ, adopted, but not only in heavenly places experiencing positioning, but now through the opening of his word, he can bring a revelation of your heavenly position down to earth. Into you. A revelation of glory. Couldn't happen to this day. People missed it. They didn't understand it. Hallelujah. Believers have for too long allowed their earthly condition to run their lives rather than their heavenly position. When are you and I going to just stop? Say, no more. I am a son of God. I am a daughter of God. I am seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, far above all principalities, powers, demons, devils, fallen angels, unclean spirits. I am seated in authority far above all those things. Hallelujah. They are under my feet. As soon as you're born again, filled with the spirit of adoption, you are connected to a position above all things. See, Jesus stays at the right hand of God until all his enemies are made his footstool. He stays as a high priest until all his enemies are his footstool. Aren't you glad he was a high priest for you? Aren't you glad he didn't stop being a high priest 60 years ago? Aren't you glad he's still a high priest? Aren't you glad Brother Rams kept referring to the high priest well after the seals were preached? Because it has to be. It doesn't do away with that. The taking of the book, the opening of the book, is not the full claiming of the earth yet, but it is the claiming of the title deed to the earth. There's a difference, but it starts the ball rolling. So it's a 60-year, who knows, maybe it's a 70-year period. We don't know. It doesn't really matter. We know it's happening already. The title deed, hallelujah, is a revelation to you, Brother James, that you are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus as a fully adopted son, and on earth you're just working your way toward it. Keep your eyes on things above and look upon your heavenly position and don't allow yourself to look on things on earth which is reflecting your earthly condition. Don't let your earthly condition mean anything to you. Lay aside all the sins and the things that easily beset you on the earth. Set your affections on things above. Run the race with patience and endurance. Romans chapter 8, verse 15, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear," which deals with your earthly condition, "but you have received the spirit of adoption, son positioning, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." Hallelujah! Anybody who has fear, it's a sign that they are not fully grasping or embracing their heavenly position in Christ Jesus. Who has to go to work tomorrow? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I think except for Brother Tom, I'm going to have to accept you, brother. Except for Brother Tom, you're not working for your boss. You're working for Jesus. When you walk into that place, you can do this, Brother Tom, too. Walk into that place and say, "I take possession of this whole entire company in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." Whisper it under your breath if you want to. Say it out loud. I don't really care. Just wherever you go, say, "I take possession." Because by understanding and receiving your position, you are granted the authority and the right to take possession. Let it begin today. Hallelujah. You don't have to, you're not waiting until the full adoption of the body change, because we're in an adoption time, which is bringing a body change. So it's time to start walking into our position. Just step into it. And one day you'll step right into a body change. But you got to start now. Don't you feel something moving right now in your heart? Like, wow, I've been just coming, going through this. It's almost like, Lord, living this Christian life, this, being a believer at this, in this end time truth, I just feel so beat up. I can't wait for the rapture. It's the wrong mindset, saints. We had better change it now, because that's the wrong mindset. That's not getting us anywhere. You are treading water. Time to walk on water. Hallelujah. And it's time for us to realize, let me read you a quote here. I'm going to read two quotes and then we'll close, maybe three. He says, Brother Branham says, men are sons of God. Men that are sons of God. So he says men, but it could be women that are daughters of God. It doesn't matter. Just get the concept. Men that are sons of God are amateur gods. And of course, he always says, now this is going to choke you. And a lot of people choked and ran out of the room. They just can't handle that. But Jesus, if you wait, he goes to the scripture. See, if somebody makes a statement and it blows your mind, it's freaky. But if he goes to the scripture, then we need to pay attention. Jesus said, did not your law say itself that you are gods? They struggled with him calling himself a son of God because that made him equal with God. They knew that. They understood that concept. A son eventually becomes equal to the father in the business. And Jesus' whole ministry was ultimately to take a bunch of sons and daughters, and bring them up to equality. He says, look, you can't be greater than a rabbi, but you can be equal. You can't be greater than a master, but you can be equal. So God said in Genesis that they were gods because they had full dominion or domain over the dominion of the world. He give him dominion over all things. But he lost his godship. He lost his sonship. He lost his domain, and Satan took it over. Now, when you say a minor god, it doesn't mean a minor object of worship. In this reference to God, it means one of a deity class, you might say. You know, God's part of God's nature. How many has the divine nature in you, according to the Word of God? But it means not one. It's not reflecting that things should worship it, even though the Scripture tells us, do you realize at the end angels will worship you? I mean, that's a strange thought. But that's not what it's dealing with. He's dealing with a Scripture and bringing it back around to show what dominion we're supposed to have. Now, the highest dominion you see is like presidents of the United States, or you see kings or leaders, and they have some kind of dominion over a certain amount of authority or a certain amount of area. But this is over the whole earth. It's a dominion over the whole earth. So he says, but brother, we are waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God who will come back and take over again. Waiting for the fullness of time. When the full, he's really just referred to three whole scriptures here, if you understand that. When the full sons of God will be manifested, when the power of God will walk out, hallelujah, and will take every power that Satan's got away from him. It belongs to us. Belongs to him, a son or daughter of God. It belongs to you. It belongs to you. Can you imagine that your great-great-grandfather died and left you 1,000 acres of prime land somewhere in this country maybe, and you go there and people are living on it? You're going to be like, how do I get rid of them? They're like putting garbage everywhere in dumps and it's disgusting and you want to just clear them out of there because that's your land. That's what we're here facing today. We're not like to be like Abraham just walking through our land that God said, but we got to just kind of keep our heads down. We got to put our heads up and be and realize we are sons and daughters of the chief. And this is our land. This is my property. This is my possession. I'm taking it back. Satan's not going to give it up easy. So Brother Branham goes on and says, now he told Moses, I made you a god, and I made Aaron your prophet. He made man a god. He a god in his domain. And his domain goes from sea to sea, from shore to shore. He has control of it. You can be in one part of the country and be praying, and God will lay somebody on your heart that has cancer the size of a grapefruit in another part of the country, and it really doesn't matter anymore the distance. You don't have to fly there. They don't have to drive to you. You just simply speak from that position, and it deals with that devil. That devil will instantaneously hear a voice that says, you're gone. And the cancer just... The cancer doesn't even crumble and fall apart and have to pass through the bloodstream for 3 days, the normal way of healing. This is a totally different level. This is where you are creating by uncreating. Whoever has the power to create has the power to uncreate. It's not even necessarily, I'm sure it includes it, but just the voice that says before the doctor even touches it, before the knife even hits it, let that cancer be gone. Be gone means everything. Demon, spirit, mass of cells, all the material that makes up a cancer size of a grapefruit completely dissipates into nothing. You have that in you. The spirit of adoption in you has that. It's waiting for us to align ourselves and say, amen, that's okay, then that's the truth. I can't undo that. That's a fact. Oh, the devil's scared that someone's going to really get this. And when Jesus came, being the one God without sin, he proved it. When the winds blowed, he said, peace be still. Amen. And when the tree, he said, no man eat from thee. Verily I say to you, that's little gods, if you'll say to this mountain, be moved, and don't doubt in your heart, but believe that what you've said will come to pass, you can have what you've said. Saints, it isn't really believing, just believing, if I say mountain be moved, the mountain's going to move. That's not where the faith is at, because Jesus starts out by saying, have faith in God, or have the faith of God. In other words, it's you believing that because you're saying it, because it's you, a son or daughter of God, it's got to happen. It's such a level of faith and understanding that you are actually careful what you say, because it's going to happen. And most of us don't realize that a lot of what we do say does come to pass, and we never notice it. We just don't realize the power we have. But it's laying there, just waiting for us to almost like harness it. Harness it. Bring it into subjection. The spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. Hallelujah. I hope this starts to... See, Brother Ram says, one day when we get over there, the Lord is going to say, okay, praise the Lord, you made it in. I gave you the Holy Spirit and you made it in. Brother Ram says he's going to ask you, what did you do with the Holy Spirit? The spirit of the prophet is actually subject to the prophet. We're waiting for the Holy Spirit to control us. When the Holy Spirit is waiting to be used by a son or a daughter of God. Just waiting. I wonder if he's not falling asleep half the time. Let me know when you wake up. I'm here. I'd like to do something. Oh, I hear something. What's going on? Oh, he's complaining again. Oh, brother. I wish he'd quit letting the devils have activity. I want to do something. You know what I'm saying? The Holy Spirit is like, what can I do? Let me do something. If you take God's word, which was written by the Holy Spirit, and you send it out, the Holy Spirit attaches himself and he goes and he gets it done. Whatever you speak in my name, it'll happen. Go right back to Genesis, he says, to the original, what is it now? The world and nature is groaning, crying, everything's moving. What for the manifestation of the sons of God? When true sons, born sons, filled sons speak, and their word is backed. I believe we're on the border of it right now. 1960. That's when he said this. Yes, sir, say to this mountain, let it be so, brother. And then he gives an example. Somebody comes up and says, brother, I desire such and such, so and so, a certain thing to be done. I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. I give it to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There's a manifestation. Someone with a need comes to you and you just give it to them. Oh, here's another. Oh, brother, my crops are burning up out yonder. I haven't had any rain. I'll send you a raining in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then she'll come. Waiting, groaning, all nature waiting for manifestations of sons of God. That is sons of God who speak out God's word. And it happens. God ordained it from the beginning. He gave man domain. Jesus came to demonstrate what it should be like. The church, the devil, everything else is trying to rip it out of us. He gave Jesus Christ. Jesus gave it in his name with the assurance, ask the Father anything in my name and I'll do it. Oh, Brother Palmer, waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God, the position, the church. Ask anything in my name and I will do it. It seems like, no, that we can't do that. He's our Lord, and we're... That's true. That is true. He is our Lord. He's our Savior. He's our Lord. He's our God. He's our King. But there's another side to this. When the church, when two or three come together, it's the church. It's the bride. When the woman, when the bride tells her husband, I need this done, he will move mountains to get it done for her because of his love for her. Ask anything in my name, and I'll do it. And then when he's preaching on the fourth seal. So watch what happens when the seals start opening. Because in 1960, he's saying, we're on the border of it. Now watch what happens. And then no one in heaven or in earth or beneath the earth is worthy to open and even to look upon it. And John wept because he could find no man, because if that book was not taken out of the hand of the original owner, where it had been lost by Adam and Eve, out of God's hand, in other words, and went back after they forfeited their rights of the word, the promises, their inheritance. Watch what he says here. Where they, remember, they control the earth. He was an amateur God, for he was a son of God. The title deed, the book, if God could not somehow get that back into the hands of his people on the earth, John wept because of that. Because we could continue going on and believing and certain things could be done, but really, we should be beyond that now. And this is what's happening. Right while he's preaching it, that title deed is being released to the earth. The title deed grants you the authority to your possession. Because the title deed reveals to you your position. And your position grants you your possession. If your children get sick, right now Esther's sick. She's got coughing up, and that's why maybe I'm feeling it, feeling her pain right now. Coughing up and her lungs filling up and fever, 107 degrees. But God's just speaking to me. You can run to the doctor, but you can also be my son and do what I would do. Scaring you a little bit? It's a tough one. But I'm hoping tonight we could all be sons and daughters, and anybody who's sick among us, don't just remember that's the devil coming to try to rob you. And he's actually, a sickness is his claim that he has rights to take possession when he does not. The only rights he has to take possession are granted rights, and you are the only one who can grant them. No way, Brother Elijah. When I got sick last week, I didn't grant that. How do you know? We're all a little guilty of granting a lot of stuff. I promise you, as soon as you open your mouth and complain, you are granting the devil something. We don't pay attention to this too much, but Jesus says, what comes out of our mouth, that defiles us. Not what goes in. Fourth seal, powerful. You got to read the whole thing to see what was going on there. But man, then in the same message of the opening of the seals, he says this. Now, when Adam sinned, he lost also his inheritance. When he lost his fellowship and right to life. This is the last quote I'm reading. Everybody pay attention. And when he lost his life, he also lost his inheritance in life because he had complete supreme control of the earth. Supreme authority of the earth. He was a god of the earth. God is the god of the universe everywhere. But his son had this earth under his own control.
control. He could speak, he could name, he could say, he could stop nature, he could do anything he wanted to, see? But when he did that, when he sinned, he lost his inheritance. Inheritance meaning his authority to have dominion over the earth and control it. Now Adam could say, let this mountain here be moved here, and it would do it. Adam could say, let this tree here be plucked up and planted over there, and it could do it. He had complete supreme control as a minor god under God our Father because he was a son of God. Oh, saints, I hope you understand what that means. Jesus comes and shows us what the redeemed Adam would look like. And the early church comes out of the day of Pentecost and they start doing it. They're manifesting everything. And then it gets lost. Because God's in the business of redemption, so he's got to redeem people. He can't fully bring the kingdom because then it would be over. So he's got to allow man to do his thing while he brings people in. So thousands and millions of people are saved now, thanks to God. He's long-suffering. But then as it comes to the end of the church age, which we're living in now, can you say amen? He brings a man on the scene, which was Brother Branham, and uses him in a humble way to redemonstrate what a manifested son of God, a son of Adam, would be like. A son of man, hallelujah, would be like in redemption. And he starts speaking diseases out of existence, storms out of existence, speaking to things, speaking to bulls, animals, and even bees that were swarming him to sting him, and he sends them back to their hive. Nobody's ever heard of that. Who's done that before? Now, there's little things through history. You'll see it. But God fully manifests it in a tremendous way, not so we can glorify Brother Branham, but so he could say, I am bringing this fully back to you. Don't let anything in your life get you down. You are risen and seated in heavenly places with Christ. All things are in your possession right now. That's the revelation that you must have by the Spirit of adoption. We've had a 60-year training session under that. But now it's time, it's coming into step in. And a real father that trains his son in a business will start handing him some things to do even before he fully releases him. Son, look, I'm going to be over here working in this field. I want you to take that field. It's yours. What are we afraid of? What hinders us when God has so clearly said, this is what I'm trying to get you to? Speak over your children. Speak over your husband, your wife. Speak over your job, your company. Speak over your boss. Speak over everything. The denominational charismatic world is playing with it like little children. Brother said, they're going to play with it like children. They're going to throw toys around. You are not children. They will get certain results, but it's time for us to get the results that the Bible is declaring will happen. God bless you. I appreciate you tonight. Musicians, please come. Do you love the Lord with all your heart? Amen. Now, that's a 25-page sermon, so just be glad I only did 4 pages. I look up everything where Brother Ram says, minor God, amateur God, you know, just these wordings, but just tying it into Scripture to get us back to understand what the whole Bible is even about. The whole plan of salvation, all of redemption, the whole story of redemption is about we were lost and very lost, but God wants to fully redeem. If we'll accept it, how many here will accept redemption fully? Hallelujah. It doesn't mean that just that you're redeemed. It means that the Redeemer lives in you. So we have to act and do redeeming things. We're in the redemption business. So when you see a problem or hear a problem, I'm guilty of it too. Instead of thinking of how bad it is, you know, like somebody says, oh, my dad's sick. Oh, I'm so sorry for you. No, don't do that. We have to step up to the plate and say, well, let's do something about this. That's why we're here. We're here to solve problems. Amen. God bless you. Appreciate that. Let's bow our heads for just a minute. Father God in heaven, how we love you, Lord. How we thank you for your word, Lord. And Father, we think of so many mistakes that we have made in the past, but also the many, many errors, potentially we could have made, but you kept us from it, Lord. It just shows us your love when you just move us, caring for us, to help us to overcome and to act out the way of redeemed people, the way of the Redeemer. To know that we are manifested sons of God, daughters of God, to know that we have a heavenly position which determines our earthly possession. So in the name of Jesus Christ, I speak on behalf of all that are here and your bride around the world. In the name of Jesus Christ, I take possession of this body that I live in as my promised land, earth, that it will be transformed by taking the atoms and rearranging them. And I will have a changed body, full adoption. Lord, we all step up to the plate tonight. We take possession of our spirit, of our body, in the name of Jesus Christ. We take possession, hallelujah. We wrest it from the devil. We remove from him the so-called authority to put sickness on us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we declare healing over our bodies. We declare healing over our families, over our loved ones. We declare the healing of Jesus Christ manifested by the Word of God. Hallelujah. We declare peace. We declare it in Jesus' name by the authority granted to us in the name of the Lord. We declare it. Father God, we ask every person to receive by revelation their heavenly position and the spirit of adoption in the name of Jesus Christ. With your heads bowed, who here desires, maybe you don't feel like you have the spirit of adoption yet, but you desire it with all your heart. You're hungering for the spirit of adoption. Who here would say, Brother Elijah, that's me. I want to make sure. Or if you have that spirit of adoption, how many here will say, Brother, I want to move into my full adoption. I'm ready to move. God bless you. It's all the same. God's going to grant that to you. If you're sincere in your heart, be more sincere, and he'll grant it to you. I'm here with you to have the same experience. Father God, move us to the next place, Lord, where you want us to be. Guide us, Lord. Lead us, O Lord Jesus. I pray for another outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Spirit of adoption, fall upon your people once again, Lord Jesus. And give us a refilling. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. That we'll step up with authority and speak things into existence and others out according to your will. By a humble manifestation of authority in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand as we sing. Hallelujah. Little girl was lying there. People all were weeping. They just laughed at when he said she was only sleeping. Hallelujah, he knew. When he, by the hand, she began to live again. Some began to praise the Lord. Some began to sing. He's in the house. Yes, death has to. Where darkness used to be. Now, tonight, now there is hope. There's no more doubt. Let's praise him. Praise his name. Praise his name. He's in the house. Let's just sing the next verse there from your heart. I was like that little dead in all my sin. But then Jesus touched this heart of mine and he gave in. Well, I am just a house of clay, but ever since that blessed day, there's a light that shines in me for all the world to see. Yes. Amen. Oh, yes. Death has to flee. Now there is light.
darkness used to be. Oh, thou there is hope. Yes, Jesus. Hallelujah. You're in the house. You're in the house. Oh, he's in this house. There's... How many believes it with all your heart? He's in the house. He has full authority. And yet he's in you. Hallelujah. He's in the house. Death had to flee. Now there is hope. Light where darkness used to be. Oh, now there is hope. There's no more doubt. Praise his name. Praise his name. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. For he's in this house. Death has to flee. Hallelujah. For darkness. Whoa. And now there is hope. Is no doubt. Whoa, you're here now. Oh, mighty spirit of adoption. Spirit of son placing. Oh, Jesus. You're here now. You're here in your people. You are the spirit of adoption. You are the spirit of son positioning. Hallelujah. You speak into us. And we speak, Lord, from that place. From on high. He's in this house. Far above all principalities and powers. That's where I stand tonight. Hallelujah. Far above my condition. High in my position. Jesus made this way. He made it possible. You didn't do any of that. He did it. Oh, Jesus, how we thank you, Lord. And now we take possession of everything in our midst, Lord, for the glory of God. Every spirit that's not of you, we bring it captive to your word. Every lying devil, bring it captive to your word. Lord Jesus, in the name of your son, in the name of your power, in your name, oh Lord Jesus, nothing can stand before you, not even cancer. Nothing can stand, no disease, no illness, no spirit, no devil. Nothing can stand before the bride of Jesus Christ. She is him in flesh. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for that blessing. Thank you, Lord, for that understanding. Oh, Lord, we rise up now in the name of Jesus Christ. Take our position in Christ Jesus. You love him with all your heart, saints. Oh, Jesus. Don't let us sleep tonight without something anchoring deep down in our heart and soul, Lord Jesus, that says, don't think of yourself as a little old son or a little old daughter. Oh, no. For the mighty God is within you, unveiled in this day. He's in his people, and he's waiting to be manifested. He's now revealed, waiting to be manifested. Hallelujah. Yes, Jesus. God bless you too. We meet again in his name. Every chain. the name of Jesus. We have authority in the name of Jesus. We have authority in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Oh, we break every chain, every chain. In the name of Jesus, let's take possession. In the name of Jesus, come on, let's take possession. Oh, in the name of Jesus, we break every chain, break every chain, we break every chain. We claim, take what we claim, take what we claim in Jesus' name. We take what we claim, take what we claim, take what we claim. Let's take possession in the name of Jesus. He's waiting for you to do it, Mrs. Jesus. Take possession, oh, in the name of Jesus. Let's take possession, oh, in the name of Jesus. We take what we claim, we take what we claim, we take what we claim in Jesus' name. Take what you claim, take what you claim. Apply the token to your family, to your children. Claim them in the name of Jesus Christ, and it all will be yours by the glory and grace of God. Amen. God bless you.